Henry Dilts started his artistic life as a musician. He was a member of the Modern Folk Quartet. So naturally, in the 1960s and 70s, he was ensconced within the California folk music scene. But unlike everyone around him, Henry had a camera. What was at first just pictures of his friends turned into iconic album covers. And from the California folk scene to the greater United States, Henry photographed musicians like James Taylor, Jimi Hendrix, Bob Dylan, Michael Jackson, The Monkees, Frank Zappa, some of the biggest acts in American music history. Henry is on tour right now with Patti Boyd, the former model and photographer who had an intimate view of the English rock scene because of her marriages to George Harrison and Eric Clapton. The two photographers are traveling together, telling stories of their photos. They will be at Atlanta's Fox Theater next month. Producer Gabby Watt spoke with Henry Dilts about his experience as a fly on the wall of the music world.
I mean, I'm a big fan of documentary candid photography. And back in the 60s and 70s, when I was hanging out with all my friends in Laurel Canyon, I would more or less just be there as a fly on the wall. I mean, I'd be there as a friend, just incidentally having a camera. Nobody would really notice that I was taking pictures. So I got a chance to take all of these unposed sort of documentary things. And then some of those would get used for an album cover after the fact. They would say, oh, I love that picture. I'm going to put that on my album. So what a lot of the pictures I did with a friend of mine who was a graphic artist named Gary Burden. And that worked really well because we would plan a big adventure. Like we'd say, well, we'd take the Eagles and go spend the night in the desert and have just a whole big adventure happen. And Gary would say to me, just photograph everything that happens. Film's the cheapest part. So that way we could get unposed pictures just as they happen. Because after an hour or so, people kind of forget what's going on and they're just having fun. And I'm just there to catch it on film.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one.
And how is photographing people you didn't know as well versus your friends that you're photographing in the 70s?
Well, it's different if you don't know the person, of course, because like I say, when I photographed my friends, they didn't notice I was photographing them. But I get phone calls and they say, can you come and photograph this group or this person? And so then there's that whole little dance of getting to know the person. My way of doing it, because I'm not an aggressive photographer, I don't sort of barge in and start clicking away, because that's kind of intimidating. I mean, I always say, well, look, let's meet for coffee and, you know, we'll talk and get to know each other. You know, what's your sign? What's your Chinese animal? You know, where did you grow up? And in the midst of doing that, I just kind of lift my camera up and quickly take a picture. And then that kind of breaks the ice. You know, then I've already started taking photos and it's no big deal. I don't know how to do studio photography. I can only shoot outdoors with God's light. And so it always has to be something real happening. And I'm very interested in people. I'm interested in life and what all this means and who people are and what makes them tick. I mean, previously to being a folk singer, I was majoring in psychology, you know, at University of Hawaii, only because I was interested in people and what makes them the way they are. So for me, it's kind of a passport into people's lives. Having a camera, you know, I get to be there and get to hang out with them and sort of get to know them. And when somebody calls me nowadays and I don't even know them and they say, gee, could you take a picture for my CD cover? My reaction inside is always, okay, great. I get to meet this brand new person and get to know them, get to find out a little bit about them, get to watch them, get to take their picture. It's an adventure. It's a lark, you know.
There's a man who's been out sailing in a decade full of dreams. And he takes her to a schooner and he treats her like a queen. Bearing beads from California with her amber stones. comes and grieves. He has called her from the harbor.
Going through your photos, one that I just thought was particularly amusing was there. It's Joni Mitchell, David Crosby, Eric Clapton, and then there's a baby in the foreground who's kind of blurry. Yes. And Eric Clapton kind of has this almost demonic expression on his face while he's looking at Joni Mitchell play the guitar, and then David Crosby's just kind of in the back. You know, that sort of photo, it seems to really represent of you being this fly on the wall of these intimate moments. Yeah. Whose baby was that in that photo?
Yes. Well, that was Mama Cass's baby, Owen. And that was in Mama Cass's backyard up in Laurel Canyon. When she was in the Mamas and Papas, she would be forever meeting these young English boys over to America for the first time. And she'd meet them on a TV show where the Mamas and Papas were also playing. And so she met Cream, and she met Eric Clapton, who was very shy, very quiet fellow. And she said, well, look, you know, you don't know anybody in town. Come up to my house tomorrow afternoon. I'll have some friends over and we'll have a little picnic in the backyard. So she invited David Crosby, and he brought this young girl that he just discovered in a club named Joni Mitchell. And he was just producing her first album. It hadn't come out yet. No one had heard of her. And she sat there under the trees on the lawn playing her entire first album, which of course blew all of our minds. And the thing is that she tunes her guitar to a chord, and then instead of playing a chord with her finger, she just lays her finger across the fretboard in a straight line. And Eric Clapton had never seen that before. So he was sitting there staring at her in total amazement, you know, in awe. And so, yeah, he was sort of gobsmacked, you know. And little Owen is sitting in the foreground chewing on a little aluminum film can of mine. It's one of those little silver Kodak film cans with a yellow top on it.
There's a lady in the city, and she thinks she loves them all. There's the one who's thinking of her. There's the one who sometimes calls. There's the one who writes her letters with his facts and figures scrawled.
I previously had a conversation with a local hip-hop scholar in Atlanta, and she was talking about how we're a much more visual culture now, that we have easy access to cameras, video cameras, and then you can post everything on social media sites. And she argued to the point that now music has to always have a visual representation or it's not validated. As a photographer, do you think that sort of visual element of music was as important back then as it is now?
Well, certainly the visual element has grown and grown. I mean, back when I was doing album covers, they were 12-inch squares. And, you know, people right along have said, oh, I don't know how many hours I've spent staring at that album cover, because that's what you used to do in the 60s and 70s, put the record on and hold that cardboard square and look at the picture and turn it over and read all the liner notes while the music was playing. It did become a visual part of the whole thing. And so now it's true. You know, everyone is taking their own pictures and sharing them, and we have become much more visually involved with the music. But if you think back, I mean, what kind of visual things do we have with Bach and Mozart, you know, and Beethoven? you know, that music is certainly, it stands alone without any pictures to go with it. But I think we're used to it now. We are much more visually acute because everybody has a camera. In the 60s, when I started photographing, there were really no other music photographers around when I first started out.
Good night, you moonlight ladies. Rock-a-bye, sweet baby Jane. Deep greens and blues are the colors I choose. Won't you let me go down in my dreams? And rock-a-bye, sweet baby Jane.
For your touring show that will be coming to Atlanta on the 19th of April, of the multitude of photos you've taken, how do you choose the ones that you want to talk about? And of those, do you have one that is your favorite?
Boy, you know, that most asked question, you know.
I know, it's probably,
picture?
Yeah, it's probably really annoying because everyone's, and also the answer is always like, oh, I don't have a favorite one. That's too hard to choose.
Right. Well, you know, look, the thing is, I mean, they're all moments in my life, you know, all people that I knew, places that I've been, and so it's kind of hard. I mean, you know, if you have 1,000 children, which is your favorite, you know? I have more like 1 million, you know, children. You know, it kind of goes along with the music, I think. Like Sweet Baby James, that album cover reminds me of that song, which is one of my favorite songs. Desperado, one of my favorite songs, especially when Linda Ronstadt sings it. It just so brings tears to my eyes, you know. So that picture of the Eagles, you know, with their guns being desperados, that reminds me of that song. Crosby, Stills, Nash on the couch for their first album. You know, that's kind of a granddaddy album cover, and so is Morrison Hotel with the Doors.
I'll keep your eyes on the road, your hand upon the wheel. Keep your eyes on the road, your hand upon the wheel. Yeah, we're going to
Paul McCartney. Gosh, you know, getting to hang out with Paul and Linda McCartney was so great. I mean, he's a Beatle, for God's sake, you know. It was, of course, every moment was fascinating. So to see those pictures reminds me of an amazing time I had, you know, living on a boat in the Virgin Islands for a week with them and just hanging out all day, taking candid photos. So they all have a meaning to me. And so, you know, that's what we'll be showing in the slideshow. And Patti Boyd as well, you know, showing her pictures of George Harrison and Eric Clapton. I mean, gosh, you know, Eric Clapton wrote Layla for her. And when I first met her some years ago, I said, well, Patti, did that have any effect on you when you first heard that song, Layla? She said, did it have any effect? You bet. She said, I fell straight in love with him. She said, anybody write a song like that about you?
Well, Henry Diltz, thank you so much for taking the time today to speak with me.
Well, thank you, Gabby. My pleasure.